faith. And so John is telling the church that if you are going to have a right relationship with God, you can't walk in darkness.
Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Welcome to the Voice of Truth, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. We believe that all scripture is profitable to those who open their hearts and minds to hear what the Lord is trying to say. So let's join the congregation and listen in to this message from Pastor J.D.
Good morning. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John? 1 John chapter 1. You know, much has been written about how to be successful in human relationships. What is it that makes a relationship good? Well, someone said the most important thing in all human relationships is conversation. But people don't talk anymore. They don't sit and talk and listen. They go to the theater, they go to the cinema, they watch television. You might add they go on the internet now, listen to the radio, read books, but they almost never talk. I believe that's a good assessment. Relationships often stand or fall on communication. The same is true in our relationship with the Lord. You can't ignore God and expect to have a good relationship with God. The title of this message is How to Have a Right Relationship with God. How to have a right relationship with God. There are four essentials that we will look at this morning. These are all within the very first chapter of John's letter to the church. And you know, that really is the theme of the chapter. The theme is fellowship. And fellowship, you must have relationships. You can't have fellowship without a relationship, can you? And John writes in verse 3 of chapter 1, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then beginning with verse 5, John gives to us what is essential, what is necessary, what must happen if we are to have a right relationship with God. And listen, we cannot have right relationships with each other until we have a right relationship with God. And so notice with me, I'm going to give you four words, each word just to help you to remember something about that point. Four words. The first word that I'm going to give you is the word knowledge. The word knowledge. It is possible. Is it possible to have a good, healthy, deep relationship with anyone without having knowledge? Is that possible? That's one of the reasons why a man and a woman spend a good deal of time together before they marry. Isn't that true? They need to know each other. I don't know about you, but I have discovered that a good relationship requires knowledge, not just about a person. But a good relationship requires some knowledge about human nature itself. And if you're going to have a right relationship with God, you need to have knowledge about the nature of God. What is it that we must know about God? Well, John tells us in verse 5, and let's read it together. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now keep in mind that one of the reasons why John wrote this letter was to refute the false teachers that had crept into the church through the Gnostic cult. The word Gnostic means knowledge. The Gnostics claimed to have superior knowledge, however, their knowledge was not founded upon truth. And John, now setting the record straight, you cannot have a right relationship with God if you do not understand something about the nature of God, and that is God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, when I was in high school, my summer job was to break horses. Now, I kind of regret that now as I've gotten a little bit older. I feel some of the pain of what I went through breaking horses, but I don't know if you watched the John Wayne movie, The Cowboys. Did any of you see that movie? Keith, are you the only cowboy amongst us this morning? Aren't there some other cowboys? Oh, just a few. Well, you've got to go. You've got to watch that movie. If you like cowboy movies, you should see John Wayne and the movie The Cowboys. But in this particular movie, there's a bunch of young boys that are going to help John Wayne make a trail drive, but they have to go through a test. They have to be able to stay on a wild horse for a certain number of seconds, and unless they can stay on the horse, they cannot go on the trail drive. You know, that's how I used to break horses. I thought you just throw the saddle on, you get on, and you got to ride him. You know, the problem was I didn't understand the nature of the horse. And it wasn't, in fact, until I moved down to South Texas years later and I was going to college in South Texas, and I just happened to be in college right across the street from the King Ranch. And so my favorite thing to do, in fact, this was my passion during college, it wasn't studying, it was going to the King Ranch and working with horses. I learned so much about horses, and one thing I learned, you need to understand the nature of the horse. If you're going to work with the horse, if you want to break the horse in a right way, you need to understand the nature of the horse. And if you understand the nature of that horse, you will learn to create a bond, a trust between you and the horse. And by the time you go to put that saddle on, that horse just says, you know, I know this guy. He's all right. I trust him. I think I'm going to let him ride me. And what a difference it makes when you really understand the nature of the horse. But you know, what a difference it makes when you understand the nature of God. You cannot have a right relationship with God without having an understanding of the nature of God, and you might be surprised at how many Christians, how many people who call themselves Christians have no knowledge concerning the nature of God. Did you know that 1 out of 3 people who profess to be Christian believe that Jesus sinned? Did you know that? That was in a Barna survey conducted in 2009. 1/3 of all professing Christians believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sinned. But the Bible tells us, He, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, He never sinned. He who knew no sin, He became sin for us. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ never sinned. And that is what John is teaching us about the nature of God. God is light. He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You know, light in the Bible, it's symbolic with purity. Light in the Bible, it's symbolic with holiness. The holy nature of God. The holy nature of God, it's of such importance that God Himself repeatedly emphasized His holy nature to the children of Israel. You can read it all throughout the Old Testament. Let me just pick one out for you. Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's what God said about Himself. He said, I am a holy God. And in verse 45 of that same chapter, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. It is not possible to have a right relationship with God unless you know and unless you understand that God is light, God is holy, God is pure. In God, there is no sin, there is no defect. He is perfect in all His ways, and God is light, and God repeatedly emphasizes His holiness all throughout the Scriptures. God knows that we cannot approach Him, we cannot have fellowship with Him, we cannot have a right relationship with Him unless we understand something about His nature, and that's that He's holy, that God is light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, here's the problem. You say, well, God is holy. God is light. In God, there is no darkness at all. But what about me? Well, I sin. I make mistakes. And so how is it that I can have a right relationship with God, understanding that I do sin, that I do make mistakes, that I live in a sinful world, and that, in fact, I have a sinful nature? So how is it that man with a sinful nature can have a right relationship with God, in whom there is no darkness at all? He is light. Well, the rest of this chapter tells us how there is a second word that is essential if we are to have a right relationship with God. It's the word truth. Truth. If we say in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice truth. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet we are walking in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Isn't that strong language from the apostle of love? Hey, if you say you're in fellowship with God, but you are walking in darkness, you're a liar and you're not practicing the truth. Again, the Gnostics claimed to have knowledge. They claimed to know the truth, but in action, they did not practice the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, again, darkness is sin. And if a person is engaged in continual, willful, sinful rebellion, and yet they claim to have fellowship with God, they are deceived themselves. They don't practice the truth. The Gnostics taught that when a person believes in Jesus Christ, they enter into a spiritual unity. They are on a spiritual plane, and that the body is no longer the real you. As a result, they taught and they believed that you could sin as much as you liked with your body, and it really didn't matter because the real you exists on the spiritual realm. You are now disconnected from your body, so just go do what you want with your body. Sin as much as you like. It doesn't matter because the real you is the spiritual you. And so they had this teaching that go ahead, it's okay in the body to walk in darkness. And so John, again, he's refuting that Gnostic teaching, and he's saying, you know, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we're liars. And we do not practice the truth. And so John is telling the church that if you are going to have a right relationship with God, you can't walk in darkness. Now, keep in mind, John is writing to believers. He's writing to the church. He says, if we, the church, if we claim, if we say we have fellowship, yet if we walk in sin continually, then we lie and we do not practice the truth. He is speaking to the church. He's speaking to me and he's speaking to you. We, the church. We don't want to misunderstand John. John is not saying that a person in such a state is not saved. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the sacrificial offering, if you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only way that you can be forgiven of sin, if you believe that, trust me, you are saved. If you believe that with your whole heart, you belong to the family of God, you are saved, and you are in God's family. But you know, there's a story in the Bible of the prodigal son. Now, he was in the family. You remember that story, don't you? He left the family. He ran away from home. The prodigal son wasted his inheritance. He lived a sinful, lustful, licentious existence, and he ended up working in a pig pen. But that young boy, he still belonged to the family. He still belonged to his father, and his father still loved him. And his father, you know, he watched every day. His father stood up on the hill. He watched the horizon. He waited for that son to come home. He loved that son. That son belonged in the family. But that son had left, and he had run from his family. And as long as he continued to practice his sinful behavior, he could have no relationship with his father. And finally, that young boy, he came to his senses, lost in his sinful, miserable condition. And he longed to return to his father. He wanted to go back. He desired for the relationship to be right. And you know, that really is the difference between the saved prodigal and the lost sinner. That is the difference. If you are saved, you will never be happy in your relationship with your heavenly father if it's not right. You won't be happy. You'll want to make it right. You will not be happy living in sin. You will not be happy living apart from your father. You'll want to come back. You'll want to return. And you see, there's a difference between the prodigal son and the family and the lost sinner who could care less about God. Do you desire to have a right relationship with God? I know some of you may have come in this morning and you know your relationship is not right. You're here in body. Maybe you're here in mind, but you're not necessarily here in spirit because the relationship is not right. So John is going to tell us this morning how to make it right. There's a third word that is essential if you are to have a right relationship with God. It is the word light. Notice with me in verse 7, the word light, John writes two times, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, we have discovered already that we can't walk in darkness or sin and be right with God. But what does it mean to walk in the light? What does that mean? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that if you live a sinless, perfect life. If you are walking in the light, it doesn't mean that you are living a perfect moral existence. If that were the case, then you have to ask yourself, why in this same verse would we need the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ to wash us from sin? Again, John is dealing with the Gnostic teaching. They taught that as a result of their higher state of knowledge, that sin was impossible. They taught and they believed that in that spiritual realm, it was impossible for you to sin, and you lived a sinless, perfect existence. And that's why John is using such strong language. Look at verse 10. Oh, John hits him on the head with this. He said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. No one can say that they do not sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. It is not possible with our sin nature for us to live on this earth with a sinless existence. You know, if it were possible to live morally perfect, you have to ask yourself, why do we need a washing? When my boys were little, one of them loved to stay clean and one loved to go out and play and get dirty. Now suppose I said to the one who stayed clean, because you've stayed clean, I'll give you a bath. And suppose I said to the one who loves to go out and get dirty, I said, son, I don't want you to go out and play in the dirt. In fact, if you go out and play in the dirt, you're not getting a bath. Which one really needs a bath? The one that's dirty, isn't that right? And really, that's what John is saying in this verse. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses a man from all sin. It's because why? Because we are dirty with sin. We are dirty with imperfection. We are morally imperfect. And that's the reason why we bathe. Isn't that true? Because we want to be clean. So walking in the light isn't about living at some morally high plane that we believe is acceptable to God. But John is saying that if you were to have a right relationship with God, we must walk in the light. One of the great old-time preachers, his name was Dr. Harry Ironside, and I really enjoy reading what he writes. And he said, you know, I was confused about this passage for many years. He said, for years, I believed that to walk in the light meant to keep a list of to-dos in order to have the experience of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, so many people believe that today. They believe, well, I have to do this and I have to do this. I have to clean myself up before I can come to God. That's not what the Bible says. You cannot clean yourself up before you come to God. But Harry Ironside, he noted this. He said, you know, the Lord revealed to me. He said, it does not say that if we walk according to light, but if we walk in the light. If we walk in the light, the important thing is where we walk, not how we walk. There's something that we all agree and know about light. Light exposes. Light exposes. Remember that the light of God, what is it? It's holiness. What is the light of God? It's His purity. The light of God is His holiness, His holy character. Now, let me just share with you one of the great Old Testament illustrations of how this works. It's in Psalm 73. Asaph makes a very frank and honest admission. I really appreciate Asaph for this. He was very honest about this, and maybe you can relate to this in Psalm 73, verse 1. A psalm of Asaph, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are of pure in heart. Verse 2, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, and my steps had nearly slipped. Asaph confessed that he looked around at the people who seemed to be prospering. Oh, they were making money. They lived in big houses. They rode expensive camels that had personalized license plates. And so how did they become rich? Well, they became rich because they were dishonest. They were dishonest people. And you know, there are so many people today in the world, they are becoming rich from dishonesty. Maybe they become wealthy from selling drugs. They become wealthy because they cheat others. And Asaph saw this easy money and he said, you know, this is easy money. They're rich. They seem to have it all. And look at me. My feet almost slipped. I envied them. I wanted what they had. And what Asaph desperately needed, Asaph needed light. Asaph needed illumination. He needed the light. He couldn't see the truth. And we all know people who seem to be living in darkness. Do you know somebody who can't seem to see the truth? They don't see the truth about God. They don't see the truth about themselves. What is it that they need? They need light. Asaph needed light. And in Psalm 73:16, he said, when I thought how to understand this, you know, it was just too painful for me. It hurt. When I just tried to understand, oh, it brought pain into my heart. And he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. What was there, some psychologist, a counselor in there that talked to Asaph? No. It was the light of God. He went into the sanctuary and he was exposed to the light of God, and God began to illuminate in the mind and the heart of Asaph the truth about what God thinks about their sin. And what changed Asaph's perspective? It was light. Asaph received the light of God. Now, how did that happen? Well, he came near to God. He came near to God. Remember that God is light. He went into the sanctuary. He sought the Lord. And you know, the remainder of the psalm is about the blessing of just staying near the light. In verse 23, it says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. That's staying near to God. Verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all your works. You know, the reason you and I need God's light is this. Without it, we can't see what's wrong. We really cannot see. We are incapable of seeing what it is that is wrong without the light of God. We need God's light. And listen, if we can't see what's wrong, if we can't see what we are doing that is keeping us from having a right relationship with God, if we can't see the dirt in our lives, then that relationship can never be right. And we need light. Let me just recommend a great, concise commentary on how this works. In fact, I'd like for you to turn there with me. Hold your place. You can flip back just a couple of letters here, back to James. So we go back through 2 Peter and 1 Peter, and then you're at James. Go back to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, look down with me at verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. When you draw near to God, he draws near to you. When you are in the presence of God, suddenly the dirt in your life is revealed. And James says, you know, when God reveals it, cleanse your dirty hands. Cleanse your dirty hands. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's to the church. Drawing near to God. Being in the light. You need to be in the light, first of all, of God's word.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. Calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.